Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the house of our Lord and offer to him our praise and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. Before we begin, a couple of brief announcements. Now, I'm going to remind you all of this day in February of 2023. Because the Farmer's Almanac says we are going to have a very, very cold February with at least one snowstorm with 60 centimeters of snow. So, for all of you who think it's warm today, I will remind you of this day back in February when we're all complaining about how cold it is. It's good to be gathered in worship this day, to come into the house of our Lord. As I come back from vacation, I want to say thank you to all those who have taken part in the service of worship over the 3 weeks while I've been gone. To acknowledge Minna, who is with us today, but has been playing the organ for us throughout the month of July while in my absence. Keppel and Michelle did the bulk of the singing during that time because I wasn't here, and Jennifer has been laid up, and so we're grateful to them for the sharing of their gifts, and of course to Alex, who preached so ably the 3 weeks I was away. It is a blessing to be the minister of a congregation that has enough people that there's always somebody you can call upon to preach and know that you leave the people under good teaching. And that is always the case here, whether it's Alex or Keppel or any of the other folks that we invite into the pulpit. So it has been good to be away. It is good to be back and to be leading in worship once more. You may have noted on the screens, by way of announcement, that this afternoon at 2 p.m. there will be a gospel concert at St. Paul's Presbyterian Church in Winchester, and they will be taking a free will offering in support of Food Share. You're invited to bring your own lawn chair for that event. And just a little advance warning for folks that following the service of worship on August the 21st, so for that last full week of August, the building is going to be off limits because that is the week that we're going to be resurfacing the floors in the hallway downstairs and in McConnell Hall to get things ready for the fall. So that means lots of coats of some wild and wonderful chemical stuff that goes on and that we seal in with heat. But it is a wonderful sealant and does such a wonderful job of our floor. So what that means, however, is that we have to stay off the floor for a week. So unless you've learned to levitate this summer, walking over the hot asphalt, stay out of the building that week. We will have signs on the door, too, to keep that before folks. But just a little reminder now. As we come into the presence of the Lord, our Lord this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we, as his people, seek to walk in the light of the Lord. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. God of hope, by faith we know that you created the world and that what is seen is made by things that are not visible. Open our eyes to your presence among us that we may hear your word with clarity and a sureness of hope as we follow you in all righteousness. We pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we open our service in praise this morning as we sing the hymn, "As Pants the Heart for Cooling Streams." The hymn will appear before you on the screen. Friends, even in our faithlessness, God loves us still and waits in mercy to forgive. Trusting in the promises given at our baptism, let us confess our sins before God and one another as we pray together the prayer as it appears before us on the screen. Faithful and loving God, we confess that we have not lived in faith and love. We offer you great pageants of piety and ignore your call to do what is right. We busy ourselves with idle pleasures and fail to prepare for your coming realm. Forgive us, God of grace. Give us the gift of faith so that we might set our hope on the better things that you have promised. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends in Christ, hear this good news. By faith, we have been saved, our guilty hearts washed clean, refreshed, revived, renewed, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let us live as ones who indeed are forgiven and freed, giving thanks to God each day of our lives. Amen. The heat is not the only uncomfortable thing we're going to have to face this morning. I think one might say that the texts that we have to hear this morning, particularly the gospel lesson, is a little bit of one of those uncomfortable texts that Jesus gives to us. It has to do with what do we value and how do we ascribe value to things. And so as we're preparing this morning for our for the hearing of the scriptures and for the time of the sermon, I'm going to invite you to think about something that you've thought was something you always wanted. For the young people in particular, probably this is an easier thing. I don't know. I think sometimes, hopefully, we as adults kind of grow a little bit more accustomed to giving a little bit more thought about how we spend our money. But I know as young people, as a young person, there were always times and things that I thought, oh, I really want that. And often I have to say, it's never quite pleased me in the same way that I thought it would. One example, I remember I was probably 12. And I remember in the gift shop of Jules Country Gardens up the road from where I lived. In the gift shop, there was a little tool set, a little foldable tool set that fit into a little plastic folder. And it had a handle, you know, one of those little handles that you can put bits for screwdrivers in. And there was a little hammer in it about this big. I got to get it away from me. But this big. So it was a very small hammer. All summer long, I thought about that little toolkit every time I went into the country gardens to get a bottle of pop or something, into the gift shop. And eventually, I saved up enough money that I could buy it. So I bought it, and I took it home. And the little nub at the end of the screwdriver that the bits fell in broke off. There are things like that in all of our lives, aren't they? We dream about something, we plan about something, we think, oh, this will be the greatest. This will be the coolest. This is the thing that I really, really want. Only to find that we're disappointed. And Jesus touches on some of these themes in his teachings this morning that we will hear from the gospel according to Luke. So listen for those things and think about those things and how God's word, that word from Jesus in Luke's gospel, continues to speak to us today. As we prepare to hear scripture, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, by your Spirit, enlighten us, illumine us, inspire us, not for our sakes, but for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen.
The first reading is from Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6. Let us hear the word of God. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. And from the Psalms, Psalm 33, verses 12 to 22, read responsively, and the words will appear before you on the screen. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all humankind.
From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth.
He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes their deeds.
A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength.
The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might it cannot save.
Truly, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love.
To deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine.
Our soul awaits for the Lord. He is our help and shield.
Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. The next reading is from Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3 and 8 to 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not invisible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born. As many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. And the last reading is from Luke 12, verses 32 to 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord.
Once more, let us come before God in praise as we sing the hymn, I'm Going to Live So God Can Use Me. The hymn will appear before you on the screen. And just a brief note, you're going to note there are words in a parentheses. When you listen to Mariah and I sing it, the parentheses will become apparent why it's there, because there's a little repeat for the harmony parts, and so we'll try to do that this morning. And if you want to try to do the harmony parts as well, for those who are so inclined, the hymn is found on page 648.
Any prayer, Lord.
Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What does the kingdom of light of God look like? What does it mean to be a person of faith? These are age-old questions that go at least as far back as the days when Jesus walked the earth and taught the people who followed him. And indeed, we hear this very struggle throughout all of the books of the Hebrew Scriptures that precede the New Testament. People trying to figure out this relationship that exists between God and humanity. What the 20th century theologian Emil Brunner referred to as the I-thou relationship. That is what is presented to us in that scripture that we heard read this morning from the Gospel according to Luke. Indeed, this morning's reading is just one small part of a much larger unit found in Luke's chapters 10, 11, and 12. In these chapters, Jesus is surrounded by people who have been drawn to him. People who are trying to fit together Jesus' teachings with the necessities of their own life experience. People who long to live better and more faithful lives. People just like us. This section from Luke's Gospel is a collection of axioms and sayings and parables told by Jesus to the people who had been following him. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. When faced with this morning's text, I was very envious of Alex, who had that wonderful parable that he could say that he preached on last week, the parable of the man and the barns. Indeed, I don't know why exactly it was, but I knew it was coming up in the lectionary. And while I was on vacation, I was thinking, oh, I hope that doesn't come up before I get back from holidays. But see, it's part, that reading, that parable as well, is part of this section from Luke's Gospel, all of these little axioms and sayings and parables, and they all come rapid fire. It's like we really get the sense of what it must have been like to be followers of Jesus and to sit at his feet as he sat upon a large stone or sat by the well in the town square and opened up for those who came to hear him, this vision of the kingdom of God. He gives all of these little sayings, and they all come rapid fire, one after another. Many of us, many people in our world, are still searching and wondering about those questions. What does it mean to be followers of Jesus? What does it mean to seek out the kingdom of God? I've known many a church member in my years of ministry who have commented that they don't always understand the Bible when they read it by themselves. And so they appreciate the exposition of the Word on a Sunday morning in the sermon or the deeper dives that we take into Scripture in Bible study, because it helps them to understand exactly what's going on and what it is that Jesus is calling them to do. And sometimes that's understandable. sometimes that's really understandable. I don't know if you noticed, but this reading from Mark's gospel that was just read for us by Cynthia is this little kind of, it seems very scattered. Jesus talks about selling everything that you have and making a purse to hold your treasure that is in heaven. And then he goes into a couple of quick stories about being prepared, being ready for when the kingdom of God will come. It's hard to fit all of those pieces together. It's one of the reasons I'm really jealous about Alex getting to preach that wonderful parable last week. Because it was easy and it was knit nicely together. But I think I have the key for today. You know, perhaps it is just this sort of anxiety that Jesus speaks into in the opening verse of today's gospel lesson. Jesus' first words in this passage that we read are important words, I think, for us to remember as people of faith. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What wonderful words those are. Do not be afraid. God wants to give you the kingdom. And it is, you know, every now and then we hear these words. And I don't think we emphasize them as much as we should. It is God's pleasure that you receive the kingdom of God. There is, one might phrase it differently, say there is nothing that God wants better than for us to experience the kingdom of God. And so the question then becomes, well, what is the kingdom of God like? The kingdom of God is free from anxiety. Do not fear, little flock. It's both words about this idea about receiving the kingdom of God, but I think it's bigger than that. I think those words, do not fear, speaks to the nature of God's kingdom as well. And then Jesus goes on and he says, do not fear. Now go out and sell everything that you have and give alms to the poor. And get ready for heaven. It's almost a text that runs into itself, doesn't it? There's almost a collision of ideas there. And there is. There's a huge collision of ideas. There is that idea of go out and sell everything that you have, which I'm quite sure, raise your hand, is an anxiety-producing prospect. Right? Just from figuring out everything you have to start with, right? I know I've talked to many people over the years who have talked about, they've lived in their home for 30 and 40 and 50 years, and now it's time to move into a smaller apartment or move into a long-term care somewhere. And the first thing they do is they kind of start to panic over all of the stuff that they've accumulated over the years. And what are they going to do with it all? And there's that bit of anxiety. We worry about our stuff. And then there's the anxiety of the worry about, well, how does one live in a world without our stuff? That our houses and our comfort and our money, how does that work? One commentator, in commenting on this text, put a cautionary note in his explanation of this text, and he said, do not believe that Jesus is saying things don't matter. To do that is to articulate injustice toward the poor. But rather it is this understanding that we have that this is not all of it. Certainly, as a member of the clergy, we have been blessed over the years. We don't have to worry about living in a home for 40 years and having to worry about all of our stuff. Every time we've moved, there's been that winnowing of the things that we've acquired while we've been in this house and in previous life, so that we can move on to the next one. Children's clothing is gone away and dealt with. Unlike my mother. But tell a story on my mother. Some of you know, during the pandemic, we made a quick trip down because my mother was selling the house. And one day I went up into one of the attics in the house in the back half and pulled down a suitcase. And inside the suitcase, and I wish I had thought of this sooner because there'd be a picture of it on the screen, I found a sweater that I remember. There are pictures of me as a 5-year-old child with this sweater. And my mother still had it. It and a little pink and white outfit that my sister wore, a pair of white overshoe galoshes that she had at Christmas, for wintertime. Some of those little things. Memories, yes, but also things that we had to figure out. What do you do with it after a lot of years? Never been ours, but for us, it's always been we leaving behind the relationships and the people that we've formed in these communities of faith that we as we move from place to place. And I think that is part of our understanding of this text today. Rather than being concerned about all of the things that we acquire for ourselves and hold on to, Jesus says, make a purse. Build a little bank account in heaven. Invest upon those things that are worthy of God's consideration. And that, of course, would be the relationships, the charity for the poor, the generosity of what we do with the things that we have received and accumulated, that we might be in service of our Lord in building the kingdom here on earth. And then he says, I think he says, and don't wait. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until it's too late. Remember our friend from last week in the parable that Alex shared with you? The rich farmer who had more than enough and ample supplies, his only concern was, what am I going to do with all of my crops? And so blessed was he that he was able to tear down all of his barns and build bigger barns to hold everything that he had. But what does that parable say he did not do? Share with others. He was an accumulator. And then the parable ends with him dying suddenly. And all that he had planned in his life, all of the things that I'm sure he had imagined he was going to do with this great wealth that he had amassed over the years, he never had the opportunity to do. Run into that a lot with folks as they retire or as they get a little bit older. The advice that I've been given more than once is, don't put off doing what you really want to do until you can't do it anymore. Don't put off the trip or the whatever it is that you've planned for all of your life, thinking, well, I'll leave that until, but do it. And the same Jesus says is true of the kingdom of God. Don't be like the servants who are not waiting in anxious anticipation for their master to come home, the bridegroom, and in so doing, be unprepared. But be the servant who is ready and watching and waiting, ready to serve their master when they arrive, with lamps lit ewers of oil, that they might anoint their master and clean their feet. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your master's pleasure to give you the kingdom. We live in anxious times, right? It's just about to the point where you don't want to sit down and watch the evening news after supper. I hit that point one time in my life back in the 90s. Back when, if you remember, back when they said the Canadian dollar was going to sink to the level of the peso. There was about a year and a half where I didn't read the news, I didn't watch, I didn't pay attention, because it was just always so depressing, so anxiety-producing. We're almost at that point now, right? Every night there's talk about inflation and uncertainty in the markets, labor shortages. I think we understand why that's anxiety-producing stuff. And yet it seems, I think, to underscore Jesus' message today, don't put too much value in things that are fickle, in things that will change as easily as the puff of a breeze and one does not know why. But rather, think first on God's kingdom. Because God wants you to have the kingdom, and in that kingdom, God promises that there will be joy. So, while I wasn't excited about this text for this week, I was really looking for a nicer parable, something to really grasp onto. The reality is, perhaps there's no more important thing for us to hear today than Jesus' words. Do not be anxious. Do not be afraid. But think about the kingdom. And work for the kingdom. Work for the justice that we mentioned there in passing for the poor. Work for those things to build relationships between us and other people. Work for the good of our community and our society. Because that is where the true blessing rests. And that is where the value lies. It really has been depressing watching the news over the last little while. Because so much of what is depicted on the news is people who are selfish. People who don't want to take a vaccine or wear a mask or do the things that need to get us through this present difficult moment. People who don't want to buy into the institutional message, thinking that they have some secret knowledge. I was thinking about this just the other day. You know, we live in a culture now where there are vast numbers of people who want to deny 500 years or more of scientific endeavor. You know, back when Christopher Columbus set sail for the Spanish king, The great fear of the people who waved him goodbye was that they figured they were never going to see him again because he was going to sail off the end of the earth. He apparently didn't. And then Magellan and Cook and others circumnavigated the globe from ports in Europe all the way around underneath South America, across the Pacific Ocean, and around again back to Europe. And we now live in a day and an age when there are people who still believe that the world is flat and believe that they have insight. Because it fits in with their own narrative that you can't trust anything. And this gospel message today is there is indeed something that you can trust. That you can trust in a God who gives to you blessings in abundance. Right? All of the things that we have, all of the things that we enjoy. But he gives it to us not so that they become an end in themselves, but that we can use them to further the kingdom of God, to be God for other people, to reach out, to care for them, to uplift them, to ease their suffering and their pain, and to show them the love of God that dwells in us is offered to them as well. Therefore, regardless of what you will hear on the news today, don't forget. Jesus says, do not worry, little children, because it is God's great pleasure that he can give to you the kingdom and all of its righteousness. And that blessings will be received as we set our eyes on that reality. Thanks be to God for his many blessings to us. Amen. Jesus says to you, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We honor God as we sacrifice what we have received for other people and share with the world the mission of the church and the love of God. So let us give thanks to our Lord and offer to him our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Lord God, you look down from heaven and see all humankind, and you long to call us home. Accept these gifts on behalf of your people, that they would increase faith, nurture hope, and be reckoned as righteousness in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace, who are we that you should care for us? Yet you surprise us with your grace. Infuse us with hope and teach us to follow a better way. Make us ever more faithful and ever more grateful for all that we have received, for all that we have to offer to our world. God of all creation, who has come to us in Jesus of Nazareth, lead us in your way of love and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Choose us to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to bring sight to the blind and to set free all who are oppressed. So shall your kingdom come and your will be done among us. Spirit of truth and judgment, who alone can cast out the powers that grip our world, at the point of crisis, give to us your discernment, that we may accurately name what is evil and know the way that leads to peace. Spirit of integrity, you drive us into the desert to search out truth. Give us the clarity to know what is right, that we may abandon the false innocence of failing to choose at all, but make follow the purpose of Jesus Christ. God of history, you share our joys and our crushing sorrows. You hear the cries of the afflicted. You fill the hungry. You set free the oppressed, and you heal the ill. We pray for the end to all injustice. Inspire us with all-embracing love. Challenge us with the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, and empower us with the transforming love of your Spirit, that we and all God's children may live and be free. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is the hymn, How Clear is Our Vocation, Lord. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screen. Friend, do not be afraid, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. May the blessings, then, of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day until Christ comes to make all things new. Amen.